Asteroid Bennu, Osiris Rex. Well, Asteroid Bennu orbits the Sun in a path not much different from that of the Earth. In September of 2016, NASA launched a spacecraft called Osiris Rex that arrived at Bennu on the last day of 2018. For nearly 2 years, the craft orbited the 490-meter diameter asteroid. Then, on October 20, OSIRIS-REx touched down briefly to collect a sample. Dante Loretta is the principal investigator on the OSIRIS-REx mission. Well, for the OSIRIS-REx mission, I should say. He's not actually on board the spacecraft, which has got no people on it. He works at the University of Arizona, and he described how the sample was collected and how much sample was in the collector.
I am extremely happy with the sample that we've collected and that we intend to bring back to the Earth in September of 2023. And just to give you a quick recap of where I think we are with that, the TAGSAM performance on the surface of Bennu looked absolutely phenomenal. We got the device into just about the optimum attitude for sample collection. It was flush with the surface. It looked like it pushed down into the asteroid regolith at least about between 4 and 5 centimeters prior to the gas bottle firing. And we contacted a location on the asteroid surface that we had previously mapped out and were able to identify a minimum of 35 particles with the longest dimension less than 2 centimeters, which are easily ingestible by the TAGSAM. So we couldn't have asked for a better placement and a better surface response. We also know that there was very little resistance to the spacecraft's downward motion from the asteroid regolith, and so we were continuing to penetrate and burrow underneath the subsurface of the asteroid while the TAGSAM gas was being injected into the regolith. And current assessments are that we penetrated a minimum of 24 centimeters, and I think that's conservatively low, and possibly as deep as over 48 centimeters into the regolith of the asteroid, with TAGSAM gas firing and collecting and driving material into the collection chamber during that entire time. So we are highly confident as a team that at that point, the TAGSAM was full to capacity. And we know from ground testing that corresponds to about 2 kilograms of collected sample. So just imagine a sack of flour at the grocery store. That's kind of what we were pulling away from the asteroid surface with. We did recognize pretty quickly as we were doing the verification imaging of the TAGSAM head after we had backed away from the asteroid surface that we were shedding mass. And, of course, I was concerned about that because every one of those particles is scientifically valuable. And as we've analyzed that whole series of images and similar images that were acquired during the STOW procedure, we've come to realize that the particle loss, which continued throughout the entire STOW, was what I would call a salt shaker effect. So if the TAGSAM head was stationary and the spacecraft was quiescent, there was very little to no loss of mass from the sample. But as soon as we started articulating the robotic arm, and particularly the wrist motor, substantial accelerations were imparted. We do have regolith inside that collector head in a microgravity environment, so it's very much fluid-like in its behavior. And it's sloshing around as a result of that, and a few of the particles, a small fraction of the collected sample, is escaping. We have continued to analyze the images and do estimate that tens of grams of sample probably escaped throughout the entire sequence of operations. We were not able to do the sample mass measurement, so we don't have a definitive value for the total mass collected, but we have performed extensive image analysis of the TAGSAM head, and we can visually confirm an estimated approximately 400 grams of sample that we can see in the imaging data. We cannot visually access all of the interior of the TAGSAM head, so of that 400 grams, that appears to be filling about 17% of the TAGSAM volume. So everywhere that we can see into TAGSAM, we see abundant sample in there. And 400 grams is our current estimate based on that observation of 17% of the volume. So you can do some math to figure out that we're actually probably pretty close to the in excess of a kilogram of material. So even though we have lost sample as a result of the mylar flap being wedged open, we are confident, I am confident, and this team is confident that we still have hundreds of grams of sample that we plan to bring back to the Earth. And then as an interesting side note, being scientists, we're always looking for new science opportunities. And many of you listening may recall that one of the other big surprises from Bennu was that it is ejecting particles into the near Bennu environment, some of which escape and many of which orbit and re-impact the surface. And the properties that we inferred of those particles are very similar to what we're seeing escaping from the Tagsam head, particularly very flaky kind of morphologies of the particles. It looks like you dumped a box of cornflakes out in space. And they're fluttering around kind of in random motion. So they are coming from the Tagsam head for the most part, but they are colliding with each other. They're spinning and tumbling. We can resolve many of them. So it's a great imaging calibration data set to better understand the particle ejection events and the particle trajectories that we observed throughout the entire encounter with the asteroid. So even though my heart breaks for loss of sample, it turned out to be a pretty cool science experiment, and we're learning a lot about how these particles behave in microgravity, and there's an enormous wealth of data to be mined, and the team is already off analyzing those images in great detail and learning about the particle behaviors in microgravity.
When they spotted those particles floating out of the sample container, the OSIRIS-REx team knew they had to act fast. Rich Burns is the OSIRIS-REx project manager at the Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland. He takes up the story.
It's a real pleasure to be here. Very exciting to make these announcements today. I just wanted to give you some background on the events that led us to expediting the STOW process on OSIRIS-REx. It was a week ago today that we were examining images from our sample image campaign, and I got a call from Dante. I was looking at those images in my office, and he said, "You need to come down here and look at this." I went down a flight of stairs to the mission support area here at Lockheed, and the images were clearly showing particles escaping from the collection head, which was turned out to be great news because we had a collection head that was full of sample, capable of producing particles that were emanating from it. We very quickly came to the conclusion through direct observation of the head that there was so much material in the head that the part of the head called the mylar flap, which serves as a check valve, it lets particles in but is not designed to let particles escape, the collection head was so full that the check valve was stuck open, jammed with sample, which is great news. But we had a very quick conversation about what this means for our plan. We knew we had to adapt the plan because this was definitely not planned for escaping particles from the collection head. Our subsequent operation on the spacecraft was what we call a sample mass measurement. That was extending the robotic arm, the Tagsam arm, to the side of the spacecraft and spinning the spacecraft about an axis perpendicular to the arm. But it also imparts a large acceleration on this collected sample inside the head and had a significant risk of losing more material during that operation. We chose to forego that operation and expedite the STOW so that we could secure the sample and get it in the sample return capsule. That's what we did. Lana mentioned that we were originally planning to do that STOW operation next week, and we're here to announce today that we've successfully completed that operation. And that's thanks to the extraordinary efforts of our team here, as Lori mentioned. This team has risen to the occasion at every challenge that we faced, be it particle emanation, the discovery of particle emanations from the asteroid itself shortly after we arrived at the asteroid, or any number of surprise. The rugged surface of Bennu is one of the other most significant challenges, technical challenges we face. And our team very quickly rose to the challenge, redesigned the complete timeline of the Stowe campaign, which in itself is extraordinarily difficult.
The decision to rapidly stow the leaking container into a sealed capsule had to be put into effect by Sandra Freund, the mission operations manager at Lockheed Martin in Littleton, Colorado.
As Rich mentioned, Stowe is an intense period of operations. Our flight team went around the clock to accomplish these in a much shorter period of time than we had originally envisioned planned for next week. That will give a good overview of the activities required to safely stow the TAGSAM head inside the SRC. So the arm was moved from its parked position out to be fully extended so that we could carefully articulate the wrist or the TAGSAM head before we were able to move the TAGSAM head over the science deck, open the sample return capsule or the SRC, place the TAGSAM head inside of our SRC, and then we performed a tug test to make sure that it was secure before we released the head from the arm, moved the arm back to its parked position on the side of the spacecraft, and closed the sample return capsule.
The OSIRIS-REx will continue to orbit the Sun alongside asteroid Bennu until March next year. It will then depart and begin its return to Earth. As it approaches, the sample-bearing return capsule will separate and parachute to a desert landing in Utah on September the 23rd.